And we're holding on page 30 in Brachos Os Yud Tes. We learned previously a couple of things that Rav Ovin by Rav Ada said in the name of Rav Yitzchak about davening, about Hashem's tefillin, and so forth. So now the Gemara brings another one. Amar Ovin by Rav Ada, Amar Rav Yitzchak, kol rogel lovi l'besek neses, when a person regularly comes to shul, v'loi bo yom echad, and one day he doesn't show up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashal boy, Hashem asks about him, so to speak, like, what's going on, what prevented this person from coming? In fact, Ben Yoyada actually points out the word mashil is shoyo would mean that he asks. Mashil means he makes others ask. So it means Hashem like asks the malachim in order that then let's see. If it turns out that the guy did wrong, as the Gemara is going to say, then it arouses a kitrug on him. And if not, then it arouses rachmin for him. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Mi vachem yirei Hashem shemea v'kol avdei. Who among you is the one who fears Hashem, who listens to the voice of his servant? Asher holach chashechim, where he went in darkness, and there's no light for him. So in Pashat Pshat, it means, in other words, the Pasuk is talking about a person who fears Hashem and does the mitzvahs, but the poor guy is suffering Yisurim. But the Gemara is darshining over here that it means he's usually a Yirei Hashem, he usually fears Hashem and comes to shul, he listens to the Koil Avdo, he listens to the Chazan, who is Ovid, the Avoda of the Koin Gadol, a person who davens by the Amud, keep this in mind for yourself, Marsha says, is doing like the Avoda of the Koin Gadol. So Shemea B'Kol Avdei, so the person who comes to shul and listens to the chazan is listening to the sound of the one who serves Hashem. And now, all of a sudden, he went in a derech choshech, he went in a way where he's not, where there's no light, where there's a dvar hodoshus. Meaning, as opposed to, as the Gemara is going to say, if he went for a dvar mitzvah, then fine. Eitz Yosef, in fact, points out, Loshon Asher Holach Chashechim suggests that he actually woke up early in the morning when it's still dark outside and went to do something else. So what's he not doing? So what's he doing not in the shul? So it depends. Im L'dvar Mitzvah Holach, if he wasn't in shul because he was occupied with a mitzvah, good, Noigaloi, then there will be light for him. Because after all, the mitzvah itself is a light, near mitzvah, Torah Ur. Im L'dvar Horoshus Holach, but if he went for something optional, Noigaloi, then there's no light for him. Meaning, Marsha says that the person might think to himself, after all, there's a shtickle mitzvah in providing parnasa for my family. But no, because as the pasuk continues, my time, yivtach b'shem Hashem, the same pasuk continues, he should trust in the name of Hashem, meaning my timer. Why is Hashem holding it against him that he didn't come to shul? He does have to make parnasa for his family. Mishum behavelo livtoyach b'shem Hashem, v'lo batach, because he should have had bitochen Hashem that he could daven first and then be able to go about his business. V'lo batach, and in fact, Marsha refers to later on in the Masechta, we have the Chassidim Arishonim, that they would make their tefillah the ikar, and their business a tofel, and they were matzliach in both. So this person is not doing that. This person thinks that his business, his parnosa, is more important, and therefore he's going to miss davening because of that. V'loi batach, so he failed to have that level of betochen and Hashem, and therefore Hashem holds that against him. There is, by the way, an idea that Mephoshim talk about, b'chlal. I mean, so, all of this we're saying is if the person regularly comes to shul. Because, in other words, if the person is not yet on that level, he's not yet regularly coming to shul anyway, so then, so to speak, Hashem doesn't hold it against him so much. But once he's already achieved the level that he's coming regularly to shul, and now he's falling down on that, then the Eibishter holds that against him. So the Gemara continues in this vein. Amar Rav Yechanan, b'shar shakadosh baruch hu bo l'veis ha-kneses, or b'veis ha-kneses, Hashem comes to the shul, and he doesn't find a minion over there, miyad hu koyis, then right away Hashem is angry. Now, Marsha explains, we said before in the Gemara, we learned a few days ago in the Gemara, that when you have 10 people over there, shchina shruya b'nehem, and we said that Hashem actually comes ahead of them. We said the mila of 10 over 3 is that when there's 3, only when they sit down and start the din Torah does the shchina join them, whereas when there's 10, then Hashem comes ahead. So now, though, Hashem is saying, I'm already. But where are they? They Hashem expects them to come at a certain time, and they're not showing up. So miyadu koyas, so right away Hashem is angry about that. The Meiri says, I mean, you know, as usual, like, what do we mean? Hashem is angry. Hashem doesn't have human emotions. It means, in other words, that it's like Gemara's way of expressing that sibur is very distant from Hashem. They distance themselves from Hashem, and therefore they're going to have to work much harder to get back to. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Madura Bosi Ve'enish. Hashem says, why have I come and there was no man? Karosi Ve'en Ona. I called out, no one's answering. So Hashem, Marsha says specifically, the Ve'en Ish. We're missing one person. We got nine people over here, but we're missing one to make the minion. So what's going on over here? This is a chisarin shalo yuchal le'imanos. So therefore, Hashem is upset about that.
Even though there is really a minion, that he's not coming. No.
So we're saying there isn't a minion, because the fact is this person didn't come. Like, with him, there would have been a minion. Without him, there's only nine. So therefore, Hashem is angry about that. Why did that person, or any other person for that matter, not make an effort to come? And there would have been a minion, and there would have been Asherah Sashvina.
If there
was a minion, then Hashem's Shina rests there, so then we're good. Then Hashem is happy with that. So that's something else. There's two different things we're saying. Number one, there's a person who regularly comes to shul, and this time he doesn't because he was away on business. Then we're saying, Ein noigalo, there's no light for him. Now we're saying a separate thing, that if there's not a minion b'chlal, then Hashem is angry at that sibur. Yeah.
How every guy who travels around just is the 10 when he comes to the minion?
Right, but we're saying there's also...
many years ago, small towns, that it was exactly the 10.
Well, yeah, but the fact is, we're also saying, the first statement we were saying was that the person regularly comes to shul for davening, and now he doesn't come because he's busy with something else. So it depends. We said if he's busy with a bar mitzvah, good, but if he's busy with something else, then what's he doing?
Sounds like it's a non-ending cycle, because once somebody does enroll in a minyan, he can't venture out.
That means, in other words, yeah, that's pretty much what it means, yeah. You know, there's an interesting idea that the Baalei HaMusar talk about, in particular the Mishnah of Eliyahu talks about something called the Nekudas HaBechira. The idea being, in any aspect of Yiddishkeit, you have different people are holding on different levels. You take, let's say, for example, as far as kashrus. So we know there's many different degrees and many different levels in kashrus. So let's say you have a person who's just starting out. Is it reasonable that he should be holding back from and only having Chol of Yisrael and Pas Yisrael, for example? No, he's barely on that level yet. Let's first get him to the level where he's not eating actually. Is he going to go to McDonald's, or is he going to not? You know, to something like Pas Yisrael, for example, or better Hashem versus worse one. I don't need any of that. All I want is to be close with the Eidishter. So then, therefore, he's showing that he's on the level of Avraham Avinu, who brought Achdus of Elikus into the world. So that's one idea. There's many, many different ideas. Also, there's an idea that, for example, on a practical level, a person has Tevei Amokim L'Tfilasa, then it means his Kavana will be greater, because when a person davens in different places and different times, he doesn't always have good Kavana. And there's many other ideas of what the Maila of it is. This is brought in Shulchan Aruch, by the way, that a person has to have a Mokum Kavua for his tefillah. And actually, though, what it says is, okay, you know, within four Amos is still considered the same Mokum. You can't be Mitzamsin. Uchshemes, and such a person, when he passes away, Omrim Olav or Loi, people say about him, A Chosid, A Onov, or A Onov, A Chosid, Mitamidav Shalav Ram Avinu. Where is the Onov? Where is the Chosid who just passed away? Now he's gone from the world, who was one of the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu. So he showed that he acts like Abraham, and therefore he gets that compliment. Ben Yehoyada says a cute word on it. He says, you think about it, when a person starts out in shul when he's younger, he doesn't have one of the important seats, like in the Mizrach Bant or something. He has one of the cheaper seats, someplace in the back of the shul. Now, as he gets older and becomes more and more mechubed in the community, they might want to offer him a place on the Mizrach Bant, but he doesn't because he wants to be Kaveh Mokum Litzvilosa. Therefore, he's showing he really is an onav, and therefore we praise him like that. Omrimol means the other people who know about what he did, and who know about what he did, and they compliment him for that. The Rashba gives an explanation over here that also the idea is that so we know when a person is davening, he has to have tremendous kavana. So therefore, when he sets aside one particular place for davening, then he's showing with that that he wants to have a greater yira for the Eibusher. He doesn't need to look for the most important place. It shows also other mafoshim talk about it. It also means, for example, like this: if a person considers davening a burden, he'll want to get rid of it as fast as possible. So he'll just daven in any old place as long as I'm done with it. Whereas when he's kaveh mokum litzvilasa, he shows that he takes it seriously. He shows he has a yira for the Eibusher. So therefore, he deserves to be called a Talmud of Avraham Avinu. So Avraham Avinu menolim dekavam mokem. In turn, how do we know that Avraham Avinu did that? This did by Yashkim Avraham Baboker Amam Mokem Asher Amar Shomus Pnei Hashem. The pasuk says, so Avraham one day davened for Sodom. The next day after Sodom was destroyed, he got up there again to daven early in the morning to daven for Lot's safety, and he stood. The pasuk says in the same place where he had davened the previous day. So we see that he was kaveh mokem l'tfilasei. So two times is enough, apparently, yeah. But Pashtus, what it means is that was the same place where other times when he needed to daven, he had stood there also. Again, there's many, many other different explanations about what's so special about that. Iyun Yaakov says a point. We know we have in Pirkei Avos, there's Tamid of Shal Avraham Avinu and Tamid of Shal Bilam Arasha. So what happened? Bilam every time went to a different place. L'chon Noah Kochachal, let me take you to a different place and see if we can find a place where a person doesn't do that. He acts with a tmimus towards the Eidishter, so then therefore he deserves to be called a Talmud of Avraham Avinu. In fact, the Rif says over here, the vort is, it's not even when we say that people say on him, a chosid, a onav, it's not even, people don't necessarily know for a fact that he was a chosid or an onav, but just the very fact alone that he showed that he follows Avraham Avinu in the Skrias for davening gives us a reason to think that he must have been like Avraham Avinu in other ways as well. And the Gemara continues, the word Asher Omad Sham means that he davened there. As we find, the passage says, Pinchas stood up and davened on behalf of the Jewish people. So we see that the word Amad means to stand and daven. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Yechon Meshum Rav Shimon Yechoy, Kol HaKeveya Mokum L'Tfilosoy, a person who sets up a fixed place for his davening, like what we were saying, Oivav Noifon Tachtav, his enemy, he'll be able to defeat his enemies. His enemies will fall underneath him. Shenemar, the pasuk says Hashem. This is part of a long nevuah that Hashem sends through God Hachoyzer to David. David wanted to build the Bismikdash. Hashem tells him, "You're not going to. Shlomo is going to." But Hashem tells David of the promise that you're going to have a dynasty. You're going to have Shlomo is going to be the king after you, and generations after him, and the Jewish people are going to live securely in Eretz Yisrael. And the expression of the pasuk is "V'samti mokem la'ami Yisrael." Hashem says, "I will make a place for my people Yisrael, or Netativ, I will plant them there, the Shochan Tachtav, they will dwell in their place securely, v'lo yugaz oy, they won't have to tremble or be angry anymore, v'lo yesifu b'nei avlo la'anoyse kasha b'rishayna, and people who treat them unfairly, like the various goyim around Eretz Yisrael, will not continue to be able to oppress them like they used to at first." So the point is that we're darshaning Mokim, La'ami Yisrael, we're saying that he made a place. The simple meaning of the pasuk is Hashem is making a place for the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. But we're step, but at least what Hashem accomplished was that it won't be l'chaloisai, that the tefillah of the Jewish people prevents that, at least that we're not wiped out completely by the goyim. If you look in the pasuk over there, you have, I think, a kriuk siv l'chaloisai and l'chaloisai. So l'chaloisai means to wear them out, but in the same idea. In other words, the goyim may cause us a tremendous amount of trouble, but they'll never be able to completely wear us down and wipe us out. That's what I'm talking about. Gemara continues. Amar Rav Chelboi, Amar Rav Huna, Hayotzim Beis HaKnesses Al Yafsiya Psiya Gasa. When a person is leaving shul, he should not take large steps. And Amar Abaya Lo Yamarin El Lameipach. And Abaya says that's only talking about when he's leaving shul. Av Lameyal, when it comes to coming to shul, Kol Shekein Derehitna U Mitzvah Lemirha. Then it's a mitzvah to run to shul. Shenema, the pasuk is V'Neidah Nirdefol Adas Hashem. Let us know and let us chase. In other words, run to know Hashem. So going to shul, to run to shul is a mitzvah. Now, all the Mephoshim ask, I mean, Rav Huna said, Hayotzi Neves HaKnesses. So what is Abaya adding by the words, Layamon El Mepa? So Maharsha says it means, in other words, let's say, he can be going to shul, he can be leaving the shul for different purposes. He could be leaving the shul because he's going about his business affairs, or it could be that he's going out of the shul to go to the Beis Medrash. Then fine, it's a good thing to run because then he's running to the Beis Medrash. So therefore, Abaya is stressing that it means Hayotze when he's leaving. In other words, he's done with shul, and he's done with Inyonik Dusha for now. Hakosev points out another point of it also, that you would have thought that maybe also when a person is coming to shul, that maybe if he runs to shul, then it's like he's showing as if he's eager to be rid of davening. He wants to get there as fast as possible and get davening over and done with and leave. So therefore maybe he shouldn't, and Abaya is saying that's not so. A couple of them before should bring up the point that Gemara mentions elsewhere, that b'chlal a person walks psia gasa, then it takes away from his eyesight. So we're saying over here that still, when he's going to shul, then he's a shliach mitzvah. So then it's a good thing. Then it's a good thing for him to run.
That
wine from Avdala restores that, right? There is also a sicha in Chelik Yudzayin, a sicha in Pirkei Avos. When you have three different things that Chazal say about running for a mitzvah. We have over here that the mitzvah to run the shul. You have in Pirkei Avos ben Aze hebe rotz l'dvar mitzvah, and you have Yehuda ben Tema hebe rotz katzvi. So the Rebbe talks about over there about each one of them what they signify in a person's avoda. In particular, for ours over here, the Rebbe mentions also the Alter Rebbe when he brings this halacha in Shulchan Aruch. He mentions the pasuk that we said over here, v'neidah nirdefol. Where usually the Alter Rebbe doesn't bring that, usually he just says the halacha. He doesn't give the posik that we learn it from. And so he explains, based on something that Tzemach Tzedek explains, that the two deis in this posik, Benega and Ladas, are Das Elyon and Das Tachton. So even when the person is not yet even on the level of Das Tachton, let alone Das Elyon, still let him run to shul, showing with that the eagerness that he's going to, the Ava that he's going to do the mitzvah with, and eventually it'll bring him up to the level of some form of Das. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Zvid, or Rav Zera, may Reish originally ki have a chazinu lahu l'rabbanan the karati l'pirta b'shabbat, the Shabbosah. When I saw originally the Chachamim were running to the drosha on Shabbos, Amina, I thought kamachal l'rabbanan Shabbosah. I thought the Chachamim bring machal l'Shabbos, because you're not supposed to walk psi agasa on Shabbos, not the kavod dik for Shabbos. Kivin d'shmaite d'shmaina l'had the Amar Rav Tarfin or Tanchum Amar Rav Shimon Levi la'olam yoretz adam l'bar mitzvah bar halacha filu b'shabbos. So that you should run even on Shabbos, and this is actually brought in Shulchan Aruch, that even though you're not supposed to take psia gasa or run or jump or leap or whatever on Shabbos, but for advan mitzvah you're allowed to, and it's fact it's a mitzvah too. So shenema, as the pasuk says, after Hashem yehu ka'ari yishav, as the pasuk says, they will follow Hashem like a lion roaring, which means Marisha says, you think about it, if you hear a lion roaring, you're gonna run as fast as possible, and obviously you would even on Shabbos, it's the korach nefesh. So the old joke has it that some one person asks the other, what would you do if you meet up with a lion? What steps would you take if you meet a lion? And the other one said the biggest steps I could. Yeah. So therefore, you would do that even on Shabbos. So by the same token, you should run for a bar mitzvah on Shabbos. So Rav Zvid or Rav Seder says, now I also ran. I once saw a vort on that, by the way. Why does he have to mention this point? Is because like this. All this time, he was always criticizing the Chachamim. So now, all of a sudden, the next time he's doing it, people are likely to say, such a hypocrite. He was criticizing them all the time, and he's doing the same thing. But he's saying, I don't care about that. Now that I found out what the halacha is, I don't care. I'll yevish mitnam al-ligim, and I'm going to do what now I know is right. So the Gemara continues in this vein. Amar Rav Zera, Agra the Pirka Riata, the schar, that the main schar that a person gets for going to the Pirka, to this drosha, is the running there. Because, in other words, Rashi says most people who come to these drushas may not understand what they're hearing. But the very fact that they run there itself is a mile. Marshall says another point on it. Fakir, the Chachamim who come there, they already know the halachas that are being darshan over there. They don't need to be told them. So, nevertheless, the fact that they run to come to it itself is the schar. Akosif says over here that what it may also mean, it's not saying that the Iker schar is that, it's saying that also the schar is that. You would think the schar is mainly for the listening, but you should know that the running there is also a great schar. In fact, the Oruch says a point on it. He says the vote is when a person runs to the Pirka, if he doesn't want to be late, he doesn't want to miss any part of it, therefore he gets a special schar for that. Anyway, Omer Abaya, so similarly, Abaya says in the same vein, Agra the Kala Duchta, the schar for the Kala, which is the Shabbos before Yom Tov, when everybody would gather together and they would darshan the halachas of the Yom Tov, the main schar for that is Duchta, is the fact that it's so crowded and you don't care and you come there anyway, that you get a schar for that. Amar Rava, Agra the Shmaita Svara, the reward for learning a statement in Torah, is the svara, is that you work hard on understanding it. The fact that you understand it itself is something, but the fact that you work hard on understanding it, that horavanya itself is the great thing for which you get a svara. Amar Papa Agra de Beitamia Shikusa, and Rapapa says in the same way, when you have a Besa Oval, Beitamia means a Besa Oval, the main sire for that is the silence. So it means, for example, when you go to Mimanachim Oval, we know you're not allowed to say anything until the Oval speaks up first, so you get a sire for that. It also means, some of the Mephoshim talk about over here, that it means, for example, when you're being Shomer a mess, you can't say words of Torah then, because not the Kavadik for the mess. So therefore, the schar you get then is for the being quiet out of the cupboard for the mess. Amr of Sheshes or Mazutra, Agri Tanisa Tzidkasa, very appropriate for today. The schar for a tzedakah, for a tainis, is the tzedakah that you give. So Rashi explained the poor people were fasting also. You give them tzedakah, that way they have food, that way they're able to buy food, to break their fast. That's the main schar that you get for the tainis. Marashah says another point as well. Think of it. When you're fasting, it means you save money that day. You don't have to buy food for that day. So now when you take that money and give it to tzedakah, then that's the real schar that you get. For that reason, they always used to, back when they used to have tainis shoris regularly about Mir Yehudi and about whatever else, they always used to say that you should give an appropriate amount to tzedakah corresponding to the value of three meals. And Omer Rav Sheshes, Agra de Hespeda Galuya, Rav Sheshes says the main schar of a Hesped is the lifting up, that people lift up their voices and cry and cry and bewail the mess. That's the main schar of it. And Omer Rav Ashi, Agra de Behilula Mili, the main schar at a wedding is the words that you speak and you say things to be Mesameach, Chosin and Kala. That's the biggest, that's you get the biggest schar from that. There is also a verse from the Ramah Mifano on that, who says that Hilula over here also means the Hilula of a Tzaddik. When the main thing you accomplish by Hilula is to talk about the Tzaddik, talk about the Torah, talk about Mises, whatever, and that's the main stuff. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Gola for Gimel Tishrei. Tzum Gedalia, now we know there's opinions that he was actually killed on Rosh Hashanah, but we can't fast on Rosh Hashanah, and in fact you have mitzvah to eat and drink and be the Simcha, so therefore it's pushed off. So now, the Rebbe talked about that in that case, it comes out, some Gedalia to begin with was set up as something nidcha. So we have much more than a sinas koyach of how that fast will be completely cancelled, the Mosa Mashiach, and we know that all the fasts will become Yom Tov Umoidim. And we see especially that Rebbe went on to say, the third of Tishrei, which is connected with the third Geula, and the third Beis HaMikdash, and the Loshan HaPosik, Yichayinu Miyamayim, Bayom HaShlishi, Yikimenu V'nichvi Elefonu. Which, as Mitzudas David explains, that you have, we're asking Hashem, send us a refuah from the two periods of Golos, and then the third period of the Geulah Seder, then Hashem will raise us up, and we'll live before Hashem forever. And in fact, Marisha in Rosh Hashanah explains, when it talks about over there in the Gemara of Rosh Hashanah, about the fast of Tzum Gedalia, Marisha says that actually the word Bayom HaShlishi does in fact refer to Tzum Gedalia specifically. I guess, not sure if we have time for halacha. Okay, well, we're beginning Hilchos Macholos Asuras. So if you find blood in eggs, it's also sometimes the whole egg is also. So therefore, you got to check eggs before you cook anything with them. And by the way, only a person over bar bas mitzvah has neamonis to check it. So therefore, you can't have your little kids crack open eggs unless you're there supervising. Hey, I'm not a man. 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 I'